the University of Trine at halftime at 31-25. Let's take a look at team statistics first for Trine University. They're shooting 42% from the field in the first half, 12 of 28. Three-point-wise, they are 4 for 8 from beyond the arc for 50%. They are 3 for 4 from the free throw line, shooting 75%. They have 17 rebounds, 7 offensive, 10 defensive, and they turned over the ball 4 times. For the Flying Dutchman of Hope College, they are 10 of 21 from the field, shooting 47%. Key statistic for them right now, they are 0 for 5 from three-point land, and they are shooting 71% from the free throw line, making 5 of 7 of their free throws. They trail in the rebounding department, 12 to 17 to Trine, as the Flying Dutchmen only have 12 rebounds, 3 of them offensive, 9 defensive. They turned over the ball on 6 separate occasions. Individual statistics in the first half for Trine University. They were led by Will Dixon, who had 27 points in his last ball game against Olivet. He has 12 points this evening, 5 of 13 from the field, 2 of 5 from three-point land for the freshman guard. Jake Begley has 8 points and 5 rebounds. Tyler Good, 5 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists. Jared Holdquist has 4 points and 6 rebounds, and along with 3 assists. And that finishes out the scoring for Trine University. For the Hope College Flying Dutchman, Nate Van Arendock is the only member of the squad in double figures. He has 13 points along with 4 rebounds. Ben Gardner has 6 points, 1 rebound, and 1 assist. Cody Stivey has 4 points and 1 rebound. And the only other member of the Flying Dutchman to get on the scoreboard was Sam Otto, who has 2 points, 1 rebound, and 2 assists. So, wow, I'm looking at that, and I can't believe it. There's only 4 Flying Dutchmen to get on the scoreboard in that first half, Ron.
Well, the one that's got to find a way to get open out there, or they got to set plays to get him open, is Alex Edson. We need his points, you know, in this second half, and he's got to start hitting some threes. But he hasn't had any shots. He's only taken 2 shots and missed both of those. But he's had some assists, but we need some points out of Edson, but he's not open. He doesn't have the open shot. They haven't been able to shake him out there. In fact, I think Thunder, as Coach Dav said, playing good defense tonight.
Yeah, and they have taken Alex Edson basically out of the ball game at the beginning of this game. What those assists, though, were those passes to Van Arendock. What they were doing is they were keying on Edson, and Edson very quickly and smartly realized that and found Van Arendock underneath. But after they changed up their defense a little bit, they have not been able to get around that. Some of those three-pointers have been in and outs, though. There was a couple that almost went in. Corey McMahon almost hit one early. Cody Stivey had one go in and out as well. So it's a six-point game, but easily those 2 three-pointers get buried. It's a tie ball game. So 6 points, we've said it in the past, is not a huge margin to go into the halftime locker room being down.
No, 6 points, you know, you can catch up with the 6 points provided you start taking control of the ball.
Right.
And they've got to rebound better, especially on the offensive boards. Trine with 7 offensive rebounds, and what you have with that is put-back points with those 7 offensive rebounds at times, and that can hurt you.
Those second-chance points are really going to hurt you, because you're given an opportunity after you make a defensive stop and giving them another chance. And really, the Flying Dutchmen need to do a better job on the boards if they expect to win this ballgame and advance to the finals on Saturday.
Another thing that the Thunder is doing well is turnovers. They only have 4 turnovers in the first half, and usually most teams against the Flying Dutchmen with a little pressure defense, the man-to-man, have about 10 turnovers in the first half. Well, not so with the Thunder. They only have 4.
Well, this is one of 2 semifinal games going on this evening in the MIAA. The other one is taking place at the Van Noort Arena in Grand Rapids. Calvin College, the number 2 seed in this tournament, hosting number 3 seed Albion. That game is at halftime as well. Calvin having a 32-25 lead in that game. Tyler Cruz leading the way for the Knights with 14 points. And Jordan Brink has 10 points in the first half for the Knights. An interesting game just looking at the statistics. Albion only shooting 33% from the field. So it's tough to win ball games when you're not shooting well from the field. And then 33% isn't going to cut the mustard on most occasions.
But, again, that can change in a hurry.
Yep. And if you get hot, you know, anything is possible. We've seen it and said it before, where you go into the locker room, you make a couple adjustments, you jump out to an 8-0 run, and that could set the pace of the entire second half and change the whole complexion of the ball game.
Well, we've had ball games already this year when you have a person like Dixon having 12 points in the first half and only having 2 in the second, things like that have happened on different occasions because your coaches start to play their defense different. And they try to shut that man off, and they're usually pretty effective with it.
We had that happen this past Saturday with Ricky Jackson of Adrian. He had 19 points in the first half, and I believe he ended up with 4 points, I believe, in the second half. So the Flying, you know, both teams are in the locker room right now trying to make adjustments, trying to figure out what they're going to do to win this ball game. Well, let's send it back to the studio for one more two-minute break. You're listening to the Mike's Mobile Halftime Show on 92.7 The Van, where Trine University is leading Hope College 31-25 at the half. You're listening to Hope College Basketball on 92.7 The Van and streaming online at 92.7thevan.com. Welcome back to the Mike's Mobile Halftime Show on 92.7 The Van and streaming online at 92.7thevan.com. Trine University leading Hope College at halftime, 31-25 of the MIAA semifinals in the MIAA tournament. Well, Ron, we've got the Hope Roundtable that you do every Friday morning on our sister station WHTC, and every Friday morning, you either have Coach Brian Morehouse or Coach Neal on there, or sometimes even both of them. So, tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Well, we have a good time at 7:40 every Friday morning. We get together and the coaches come in and talk a little bit about the previous ball game and then talk a little bit about the game that's coming up. And it's short, it's sweet, but it does a nice job of getting things going. And it's fun Friday. There's a lot of things that go on in addition to that. You have the Family Fun Giveaway on WHTC, and that's sponsored by Larry Kleinaxel, I believe, the realtor. And he provides tickets and family group tickets out there to go see some of the ball games and things like this to keep things going. And Dan Spadafor is the host in the morning, and he'll be happy to talk to you and get you involved a little bit if you'd like to do that. And so a lot of things going on Friday morning, so tune in, and we'll get you involved.
Along with that, you can also go to the Anchored in Hope section on 92.7thevan.com. During the 2013-2014 MIAA basketball season, Hope College is teaming up with 92.7thevan.com to provide the most comprehensive athletic coverage in the region. Where can you find this? Well, you can find it at 92.7thevan.com. On this section, you'll find pre- and post-game articles, video highlights each Monday following the coaches' luncheon, audio podcast of all Hope College football games from last season and basketball games from this season, live audio streams of all over-the-air Hope College broadcasts, photos from games and events, and releases showcasing happenings around Hope College. Once again, that is Anchored in Hope, and you can find that at 92.7thevan.com. Well, Ron, we are only a few minutes away from second half action. Both teams look pretty focused as they come out on the court. They look like they're pretty ready for the second half to begin.
Well, I think both of them are probably, almost content with the way they're playing out there, especially the Thunder, because they are ahead in this ball game. Not that they didn't expect to be ahead, but they are leading in this one, and the Hope College Flying Dutchman not expecting to be behind at this particular point. But as you mentioned, easily within earshot, you might say, of get this one tied up and then moving ahead in the second half. But this one's not over, and it's an important ball game. The finals on Saturday don't count anything if you're not in it. So you've got to take this one first. And that's what Coach Dabb was pointing out in the pregame show as well, that, hey, let's not forget about the one we have to win tonight.
I'm looking at the stats from the previous games. The Flying Dutchman led going into the half of those both of those ball games. And really, you got to give Trine a lot of credit. They came into this ball game with a game plan of what they needed to do in order to win. And give Brooks Miller a lot of credit. This team has gone out and done exactly what they needed to do here in the first half to take control of this ball game.
Wasn't one of those ball games out there we went ahead on a three-pointer right toward the end of the half?
I vaguely recall that. I want to say that we were in the Trine when that happened, and I think there was like almost a three-quart shot.
No, it wasn't what I was thinking of. But we've had it a couple times where we've gone ahead just before the end of the half where somebody makes a three-pointer or a deuce and puts us ahead. And we like that feeling going into the halftime being ahead.
Well, in the first game, it was a 35-31 Hope College lead at the half. And in the second game, it was a 39-28 ball game at the half. So let's see if the Flying Dutchman can turn this game around and take the lead here in the second half.
Thunder gets the basketball to start the second half. Dixon on the weave. Starters in for both of these ball clubs. And the Hope is back to a man-to-man. Tyler Good takes him down low. Pulls up short. Puts it up and in. 33-25. The Thunder with the lead. We're just underway in the second half. Stivey with the basketball. Over to Edson. Back to Gardner. Gardner looks for Neal as he breaks through. Gets the ball up an Aaron Dock. He's double-teamed underneath. Stivey gets a shot off, but somebody had a hold of his arm, so he's going to get some free ones on this. Bagley will pick up the foul. It's second. Nobody really in foul trouble for either ball club at the end of the first half. This one's good by Stivey. 33-26, trying. Second one, swish. 33-27, trying with the lead. Dixon with the basketball for the Thunder. Out front to Hall. Hall works against Edson. Edson looks, just looks him in the eye out there. They stand staring at each other. Now Hall starts his dribble to the right side. Brings it back to the point. Gives it to Dixon. Dixon has an opening as he stopped quick. Headed for the basket and put up an easy shot and in. Faked his defender out completely. 35-27, the Thunder. Edson for three, misses. Rebound underneath, taken down by Hall. Here come the Thunder, 3-on-2 break. Hall to Dixon for three. In and out of the basket, rebound by Arendon. Over to Gardner. Gardner stops on the right side, gives it to Nate, way up on top to Neal. Over to Edson. Edson can't get it inside. They're fronting Van Arendonk, and Gardner has the ball tipped out of his hand by Tyler Good. Edson will set it up directly in front of the Hope College bench. Little bounce pass to Gardner. Over to Stivey. Underneath Edson for three. Got it, and it's
for two. Oh,
it's going to be a two-pointer. 35-29. Well, they're getting Edson involved in this second half. 35-29, Thunder with the lead. Tyler Good into the paint all the way, takes it up. Gardner blocks a shot, but a foul. And it's going to go against Gardner. So Tyler Good, one of their better free throw shooters, will step to the line for the Thunder.
That was Gardner's second foul of the ball game.
And this one up, down, and good. ...36-29... Thunder with the lead. And the second one rolls around and drops in. 37-29... the biggest lead of the ball game by the Thunder. Stivey over to Neal. Neal takes it toward the corner, starts to dribble on the baseline. Underneath Van Arendonk. Has the ball knocked out of his hand, picked up by Dixon. Gardner picks up Dixon to slow down the basketball. So Dixon give it to Hall, and Hall will bring it up. Dixon on the right side, Holmquist in the middle. They go to Hall. He brings it to the right wing. to Holmquist out front. Bagley back to Hall. Hall just waits on the outside, finds Dixon. Dixon into the paint, puts a left-handed shot up and in. Nice scoop move that time by Dixon against Ivy. 39-29, 10-point lead by the Thunder. Edson looks for an opening, has the ball knocked out of his hand, picks it back up, takes it baseline, out to Stivey. He puts up the triple and finds the ring. 39-32. And the TV timeout, first one in the second. No,
it was a Coach Neal called that timeout from the bench. So this timeout is presented by Apple Valley Natural Foods. For natural foods, snack healthy before and after the game, go to Apple Valley Natural Foods. No, you didn't catch that. Coach Neal quickly called timeout there and to try to change the complexion of this ball game right now, because it was quickly getting away from him even after that three-pointer was hit.
Well, usually you don't look after they hit a three in the, you know, early stages like that, that they call the timeout late in the ball game. That happens frequently, but not so much early on. But he obviously had things he wanted to talk about.
Well, Trine had gone on an 8-4 run to start the second half, and that is not in the right direction and that they wanted things to go in. And obviously he had some things that he needed to say and wanted to say before it got any further along. I don't think that he made any substitutions with that, because there's sometimes that happens too, where they want to get a quick substitution in, so they call a timeout after a basket. And I could be, I'm just checking to see who's coming out. No, it's the same lineup, except for they've checked Caleb Byers into the ball game.
So the brain trust for the Flying Dutchman, trying to come up with something that's a little bit different.
That's kind of interesting for Stivey. He hits a three-pointer and then comes out of the ball game.
So the Thunder with a basketball and a 39-32 lead at the 17-minute mark of the second half. Dixon to Good. Over to right side, Hall. Hall underneath Holmquist. He puts it up and in. 41-32, the Thunder. Gardner at the point for the Flying Dutchman. Moves in, backs it out, finds Edson left wing. Edson, cross court pass to Neal. Back to Byers, over to Gardner. Gardner to the baseline, puts up a shot. Oh. We're going to have a traveling, or not, give me a charge. And that's number three on Gardner. So Carlson comes back in for Gardner. So the Flying Dutchman lose their quarterback as he goes to the bench with three fouls. Dixon out front to Hall. Hall on the right side to Dixon. Back out to Holmquist. Up front, Bagley. Back to Hall. 17 on the shot clock. Dixon. Dixon down low over to Hall. He fires away. No good. Rebounds an Arendock, and the ball knocked out of his hands by Holmquist. So the Flying Dutchman will bring it up, trailing 41-32 at the 16-minute mark. Left side, Edson. Over to Byers, his shot, good. Caleb Byers from the baseline with about a 10-foot jumper. 41-34, Trey on top. The Hall, back to Good. Good just stands with the basketball, gives it to Dixon. He moves way outside on Carlson, takes him to the free throw line, puts a jumper up and in. Not a good matchup there defensively for the Flying Dutchman, as Carlson is much smaller than is Dixon. Cross court pass, Neal. His shot for three, good. Well, a couple of triples help the Flying Dutchman as they start to close the lead. 43-37. Trine with the lead. Dixon on the outside. Goes to Holmquist. His shot, good. It's a two-pointer. 45-37. Edson to the baseline. Turnaround jump shot is short. Tip up in the air, controlled by Hall. Hall will take it to the right wing. As the Thunder come up the court. Into the paint is Holmquist. His shot way off the mark. Touch last by Tyler Good. And now we get our TV timeout as Benson comes in along with Tatu and Watkins.
This timeout is presented by Apple Valley Natural Foods. For Natural Foods to snack healthy before and after the game, go to Apple Valley Natural Foods. The person that's really taking control of this game for Trine is Will Dixon. 18 points for the freshman. He did not have anything like that in any of the other games against us. He has been a spark plug for the Trine University in this ball game, Ron.
Well, maybe he feels a little bit embarrassed in the first couple of games going against Gardner.
And if looking at the stats from the first game against these two teams, Will Dixon played 28 minutes, went 2 of 12 from the field for only 5 points. And in the second ball game, he had a lot better performance in that ball game. He went 5 of 12 from the field for 18 points, but a lot of his scoring was done from the free throw line where he made all of his free throws.
Well, he's getting open. There isn't any question about it. He's had some good shots out there.
It's going to be kind of a tough matchup issue if he Carlson continues to guard him, because he's going to have just a little bit of a height advantage, and that's going to be able to allow him to get off his jump shots that he's been hitting, because Carlson isn't going to be able to get up into his face.
Flying Dutchman will have the basketball. Looks like trying to stay with their man-to-man defense. They went zone for just a bit in the first half. Carlson around the edge. Gets it back out in front. Almost threw it away. McMahon hustles and got it. Back to Carlson, left wing. Carlson to Neal. Over to Byers. Byers looks in. Goes cross court. Carlson for three. Short. Rebound comes to Dixon. Dixon hustles up the court. Beats everybody. Has one-on-one situation with Caleb. Caleb with the foul problems, and let him go by and shoot, and he made it. Carlson back to the left side to Byers. McMahon for three, got it. 47-40. Thunder with the lead. 13-48. Dixon over to Holmquist. Back to Dixon. Dixon works the right wing over to Holmquist. Out front to Tyler Good. Good. Just kind of stands there with it, waits for people to get open. Now drives to the basket. Feeds Watkins underneath. He puts it up and in. Al very patient with their shots, and they're getting good shots. That being the Thunder, 49-40. Thunder with the lead. Carlson back to McMahon. McMahon takes a look on the left wing. Gives up to Byers, over to Carlson. Back to McMahon at the left wing. Byers for three. This one hits, bounce high. Neal up high for the rebound. Gets it out and finds Carlson. Good hustle that time by Grant as they lost the handle. Had to get it back and then gain control and get it out to Carlson. McMahon at the right side, 20 on the shot clock. To Benson, back to Byers. Byers thought about the three, switched around, drives in, misses a reverse layup, and the rebound comes to Watkins. Caleb made a good move on the inside, but it didn't drop for him. Dixon way outside, and a timeout called by Trine as they lead 49-40, 12-19, and time ticking away on the Flying Dutchman as we have about half of a half. We've got a quarter left in this one.
This timeout is presented by Apple Valley Natural Foods. For Natural Foods to snack healthy before and after the game, go to Apple Valley Natural Foods. Trine still controlling the boards, Ron. They have 21 rebounds to the Flying Dutchman 16. The Flying Dutchman have to continue to get the rebounds if they expect to get back into this ball game.
So they're starting to spread the scoring around a little bit more instead of everything having to be fed into Van Arendon. Not that he didn't do a good job, but you got to come up with something to add to that, as nobody else really was doing much scoring for the Flying Dutchman other than Big Nate.
Well, McMahon has 3 points here in the second half. Otto Hasn't gotten on the board yet, but he has 2 points. Byers has 2 points here in the second half. It's good. They're going to have to start finding somebody to come up with a hot hand here in the second half in order to get back in this ball game. But every time the Flying Dutchman cut the lead down, Trine brings it right back up.
They counter.
And it shows here in the second half, Trine has an 18-15 edge on the Flying Dutchman. Every time it looks like the Flying Dutchman are going to get back in this ball game, Trine counters and puts the lead right back up to 7 or 10 points.
Now, this is a very disciplined ball club. They did this to Calvin, too, through a great part of the ball game in one of the games that they had with Calvin. So, Trine will have the basketball at side court. Out to Dixon. Dixon around the right side, leaves it for good. He takes it in the paint, puts it up, shot blocked by Otto. Picked up by the Flying Dutchman. Here comes Carlson. Carlson looks around, finds Otto, goes underneath to Benson. Benson turns around, and he is fouled. Trying to steal the basketball was Dustin Hall, and he just ran into Benson out there and kind of bounced off.
That is his first team's second.
So Benson at the line for the Flying Dutchman. Quiets down, and this one misses as it hits the back of the iron.
Only two fouls against each of these ball clubs with almost 8 minutes into this second half.
Second one is good. 49-41, the Thunder, 12 minutes left. Dixon with the basketball for the Thunder. McMahon is on him now. Out the hall. Hall just stands there and waits for people to cut without the basketball. Finally to Tyler Good. Tattoo in the right wing. Back out to Holmquist. Holmquist to Dixon. Dixon works his way around the right side. Bounce pass underneath to Holmquist. Out of bounds. And it's going to stay with the Thunder. Brock Benson dove at that one to knock it out of bounds. And Holmquist playing on the bad ankle out there. You can see in his face he's playing with pain for the Thunder. They get it into him. Back to Good. Good fires away. Got it. Now when things are going right, they're going right for you. He was totally covered on that one. Just kind of threw the ball up there and put it in. 51-41, the Thunder. Over to McMahon on the right side. McMahon to Caleb down low. Byers double team. Takes it in the corner. Gets it back out in front. Benson picks it up. And a foul is going to go against Hall as we have a collision underneath. And I think that's, who's it? That's Tatu underneath. As Benson had trouble controlling that one right over the top of him. Hope's going to get the basketball underneath their own basket. Inbound pass comes to Byers. Right side, McMahon back to Byers. Byers underneath, misses the shot. Rebound into the hands of Tyler Good. So, the Thunder get the rebound back after the missed shot. Dixon at the top of the key. Left wing to Holmquist. Back out in front to Good. To Dixon. Dixon. Right wing, Holmquist. Back to Good. Good in the paint. And didn't lose the basketball. Lucky to get out of there with it. Hall, 6 on the shot clock. Alley-oop pass underneath the Holmquist by Hall, and it gets away. Stivey comes in. Van Arendonk comes in.
That was Trine's only their 5th turnover of this ball game. Doing a very nice job of taking care of the ball.
10-point lead by the Thunder, 51-41. 10:22 left in the game. McMahon on the right side fires away. Yes! It's a 2-pointer. 51-43. Flying Dutchman now have to stop the Thunder from scoring and start to get 2 points, back to back. Turnaround shot, no good. Rebound, Van Arendonk. Back to Carlson. Carlson takes it to the left wing, slows it down. Picks it up to Stivey on the outside. Stivey looks, spins around. Fires it up, no good. And the ball is going to go to the Thunder. And you can hear the reaction by the Duke crew as they weren't real happy with that call. Thunder with the basketball, 9:37. Thunder up 51-43. Dixon, left side, Watkins, back to Dixon. And we have a whistle, and one is going to get the foul, and that's Tatu away from the basketball. So the Flying Dutchman with a chance to pick one up here. As Carlson will walk up with the basketball for the Flying Dutchman. Cross court pass, and
they're going to get VA on this one.
I was looking over there on the left side as somebody had a hold of Stivey's shirt, and it was stretched out about that far in front on the left side. So the ball goes back to the Thunder. Dixon. Left side, that too, couldn't get the shot. Back out to Good. Right side to Dixon. Works against Otto. Waits for a screen, doesn't get any. Bagley goes to the right wing. Back on front to Tatu. Dixon all the way around the edge. Puts the shot up and no good, right into the hands of McMahon. Comes Carlson. And Carlson looks around, finds Stivey. And this time we're going to get Watkins as B.A. and Watkins battling in the middle. And the last time it went against B.A., this time it goes against Watkins. Holmquist comes in for the Thunder for Watkins, and Hall also in for Drine. So Hope is going to set it up. In fast comes to Stivey. Back to McMahon underneath VA. Hit ball is knocked out of his hand by Holmquist, picked up by Good. Thunder with the basketball. Dixon on the right side goes to Hall. Back to Good. Ball tipped out of bounds by Otto. Here comes Neal and Gardner along with Edson back into the ball game.
The Flying Dutchman have held Trine without a basket in the last 3 minutes. The only problem is the Flying Dutchman haven't scored a basket in the last 2 minutes.
So the Thunder out front to Dixon. Edson's got him now. Right side to Hall. Back out in front. Good. Over to Dixon for three. Off the front of the iron. No good. Grant Neal with a rebound. Over to Gardner. 51-43 Thunder. Edson, left wing. Gardner. Underneath they go to B.A. He backs underneath, and they're going to get a foul, and I think this is going to go against Holmquist. And
it is.
The Thunder not very happy with that call, and that call could go either way. As they're indicating that it's time for a media timeout, I do believe. 51-43, the Thunder with the lead, but that clock working its way down. 7:47 showing on the clock, and the Duffman have to come back.
This timeout is presented by Apple Valley Natural Foods. For natural foods and snack healthy before and after the ball game, go to Apple Valley Natural Foods. Personally, Ron, I was wondering how long it was going to be before they were going to try to get Ben Gardner back into this ball game. Even with three fouls, you kind of need him in the ball game to run the show right now, because with 7:47 left, you're running out of precious time to get back into this ball game.
Well, the defense is getting better as the game goes along, and trying not getting as many good shots of late, but yet the Flying Dutchman not being able to capitalize by not making shots on their end of the court. So it's working in Trine's favor very definitely.
Well, if you keep both teams keep missing the shots, it's not going to help the Flying Dutchman in the long run, because they're down by 8 points, and you got to get back in this ball game somehow. And right now, we've been stuck on the same score for the last, 4 minutes, because neither team has hit a basket in a while.
In some ball games, 8 points isn't very much, but in this one, 8 points is a lot because it's a very low-scoring ball game, and the team tend to match points back and forth. So we'll have to wait and see. Time will tell. Hope's going to have the basketball underneath their own basket. Edson will throw it in for the Flying Dutchman. As they work it around, the inbound pass comes to Stibe over to Gardner. Gardner takes a look. Nobody open underneath. Back out in front to Edson. Edson turns. Dixon's on him. Gets in the corner. Puts up a three way over the basket. Rebound Bagley. That was not an Edson shot out there. He normally right around that hoop, and that one was 3 foot over. Good with the basketball on the point. Right side, Holmquist. Holmquist back out front. Ball almost stolen. Good goes to the hoop, and I think it's Grant Neal going to get the foul. I don't believe it's going to be a shooting foul. And tattoo into the ball game for
the fourth team foul against the Flying Dutchman here in the second half.
Holmquist underneath works against B.A. Has to fire it back out to tattoo to Hall. Hall will take his time setting it up. Lots of time on the shot clock. Holmquist hands it off to Dixon. Back to tattoo. Thought about the three. Changed his mind. Gives it to Dixon. 11 on the shot clock. Dixon waits for a screen. Takes Gardner down low. Puts it up. Misses. Rebound Stivey. And we got a foul.
It's going to be against Holmquist. He tried to tie him up to get a jump ball. Instead, he got too much of Stivey's arm.
Give Stivey credit that time. He was fighting for that basketball.
And he held on to it, and he turned away from Holmquist, causing Holmquist to foul him. A nice move by Stivey.
Bagley in for tattoo for the Thunder. Stivey will be at the line for the Flying Dutchman. First one is good. 51-44. Thunder with the lead. Tattoo getting ready to come right back in. Second one is off the back of the iron. Rebound by Arendonk. He brought the ball down. Had it taken away by Holmquist. 51-44. Dixon all the way around the edge. And Gardner.
Oh, Hall tagged Gardner pretty good. And Hall's going to get called with a foul. And he knows it. He knows he tagged Gardner pretty good right in the small of the back. No argument from Brooks Miller on that one. That happened right there at center court.
So Gardner comes to the right side. Works his way all the way around the left. Turns around, comes back. Ends up at the point, gives it to McMahon. McMahon fires away. Yes!
That's two.
51-46. Flying Dutchman starting to creep a little bit. 6 minutes left. Holmquist at the left wing. Out front they go to Dixon. Dixon back to Good. Out front Bagley. Into the hands of Holmquist. Into Dixon. Dixon in the paint. Puts a shot up and got a foul, I believe. Against McMahon. It'll put Dixon at the line. Now, in that first half, Dixon did not get to the line. This one misses. Hall comes back into the ball game for the Thunder, and Edson for Grant Neal.
It's been almost 6 minutes now that Trine has not hit a field goal from the field, Ron, and the Flying Dutchman are clamping down on defense.
This one's good. 52-46. Trine with a lead. Gardner with a basketball. Over to Stivey. Into McMahon. Back to Gardner. Hope's got their three-point shooters in. Right now, Stivey in the corner, and he is nailed by Bagley and goes down. Got hit in the stomach out here and has to...
Right in the breadbasket on that one.
Has to catch his breath a little bit. So take your time out there. Take your time. As Stivey quickly steps to the line, and he can walk around a little bit and catch his breath. He doesn't have to jump right up there. This one's good.
That's a career high now for Cody Stivey, 11 points for the freshman.
52-47. Trying with the lead, 5:30. Second one is good, 48. Flying Dutchman within four, and the crowd getting involved here. 5:27 left. Dixon over on the right side to Hall. Hall up on top to Dixon. Dixon working against McMahon over to Holquist. Holquist back out in front to Good. Good back to Dixon. Dixon works his way around the edge, leaves it on the outside for Good. Letting 10 on the shot clock. Back to Dixon. Dixon, Cody Desayam puts up the shot. No good. Rebound and Aaron Dodd. So the Flying Dutchman, opportunity to pick up a couple of more points here. 4:50 on the clock. Gardner with the basketball. Coach Neal gives him the play he wants. Gives it to Stivey. Stivey with the ball above his head. Back to Gardner. Gardner out front to Neal. Right side Stivey. Into the paint. Back to Neal. Out front to McMahon. Back to Gardner. Gardner underneath. Puts up the shot. No good, but he's fouled. And that's going to go against Holmquist.
That's third against Holmquist. Oh, it's his fourth.
So Gardner will step to the line for the Flying Dutchman with a chance to narrow this down. Crowd gets quiet. And Gardner misses the free throw.
And that was Gardner's first miss of the ball game, Ron. He had been previously 4 for 4 from the free throw line.
And the Thunder take a timeout because they want to change things. They want to stop Flying Dutchman and get some points on the board. They've had, what, 1 point that that they've scored, and other than that, that stayed at 51 a long time.
Yeah, they had their one basket. They have only made 1 point in the last almost, it is now 7 minutes of this ball game. So the Flying Dutchman defense has clamped down and forced Trine into taking very poor shots here in the last 7 minutes. And the Flying Dutchman have been able to cut this lead from 10 points all the way down to 4 with 4:28 left in this ball game. Well, there's another ball game going on as well, the other semifinal ball game is taking place at the Van Dort Arena in Grand Rapids this evening. The Knights, Calvin Knights, jumped out to a 13-point lead in the second half, coming out of the locker room a little bit fired up. Albion has cut that lead down with 4 minutes left in that ball game. It's Calvin 53, Albion 47. So a close ball game at the Van Dort, just as we have a close ball game here at the DeVos Fieldhouse. After this timeout, Ben Gardner will head back to the line for his second free throw, and we'll have another media timeout, which will be quickly following this, probably within the next minute or two, because it's going to be at the four-minute mark or in about. The Flying Dutchman are all ready. They're geared up, and trying still at their bench in the huddle.
So Gardner with an opportunity to cut into that lead by one more point. Each one's important. He missed the first one. Maybe he got too quiet. Because it really quieted down out there when Gardner got the basketball and had to stand up there and shoot it. Pressure's on. It's not like shooting these in the backyard. This one's good. 52-49. One triple will tie this one. Thunder with the basketball and the lead. Dixon, bounce pass to Holmquist. Ball tipped out of his hands, but he gets it back. They put it in Dixon's hands. McMahon is on him. Little bounce pass to Holmquist. Takes it underneath. Stops, gets it out to Tattoo. Got the three. Three came at the wrong place out there. Game for the Thunder, not for the Flying Dutchman. 55-49. Matt Neal drives underneath. Has a shot partially blocked by Holmquist. They get it back to the Thunder. Now if the Thunder can make this one, they're right back in control again. Dixon with the basketball over to Holmquist. Back out to Good. Good takes his time. They want to take time off the clock. Clock's their friend. As Dixon works right side to Good. 12, 10 on the shot clock. Tattoo to Dixon. Dixon fades away to Holmquist for three. No good. Rebound taken by Gardner. Here comes Gardner. All the way coast to coast to McMahon. Stivey. Stivey's got the triple. 55-52. Trine with a lead. 2:58 left. Flying Dutchman closing in. Trine leads by as many as 10 or 11. Dixon underneath. He's fouled by McMahon. And McMahon kept him from making the layup shot, but he's going to go to the line. He is a good free throw shooter. He's been hitting what so far?
80% from the free throw line on the season.
So Dixon will step to the line as Sam Otto gets ready to come in. He likely will replace McMahon. This one's good. Hall comes in for Tattoo. No, Grant Neal's going out for the Flying Dutchman. Coach Neal putting in offense for defense here at this point. Dixon with the second one, yes. 57-52, 2:50 left, trying with the lead. Gardner to Stivey. Over to, Otto. Otto underneath to McMahon. McMahon backs it out, goes cross court into the hands of Otto. Stivey got another! The freshman from Hudsonville, Cody Stivey. 57-52, the Flying Dutchman within two. Dixon to Holmquist. Holmquist back out front to Dixon. Takes his time. Looks around, backs out. Gardner's on Dixon now. Gardner has to be a little bit careful. Gets the screen, takes it all the way, puts it up and in. Well, they want the ball in his hands. 25 points for Dixon tonight. As Gardner goes to the left wing. 59-55, trying. McMahon, no, misses a three. Van Arendonk tips the rebound. Otto catches it in the corner. Gives it to Gardner. Gardner underneath. Yes! 59-57, a minute 32 left. Trine up by two. Dixon, Gardner's on him to Holmquist. Holmquist over to right side to Hall. Back to Dixon. Dixon again starts with Gardner. Gardner has to back off. Now Dixon takes it way back out. This is what he likes to do. Holmquist will come out with a screen. Try to screen Gardner off. Misses that time, and the ball tapped around. Otto comes away with it. Gardner, 59 seconds, 58. Hope down by two. Stivey, left wing, Otto. Otto takes it out front. Works the basketball. 47 on the clock underneath Van Arendonk.
And he's fouled.
Bagley cut in behind him out there and fouled Nate. So Van Arendonk will go to the line. And it'll be a two-shot foul regardless. They have 10 fouls against Trine. Flying Dutchman down by two. As Van Arendonk will go to that line with the pressure on. This one's good. 59-58. 1 point lead for the Thunder, and they take a timeout.
That's 14 now for Van Arendonk. This timeout is presented by Apple Valley Natural Foods. For Natural Foods to snack healthy before and after the game, go to Apple Valley Natural Foods. I'm guessing this is kind of like a timeout before a field goal towards the end of the ball game, maybe trying to ice Big Nate and let him think about it a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure it has something to do with it out there. He probably wants to talk to his guys. And with 43 seconds left, I'm sure they got timeouts left.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of timeouts they had all night.
They only have one timeout left. According to the scoreboard, there's only one timeout left for Trine. The Flying Dutchmen have three. So I'm guessing that they're trying to ice it.
That could be important because only six fouls called against Hope. So Hope can give a couple fouls, whereas Trine cannot. Everything's a two-shot foul.
And right now the free throws are going to come into play very much. Who's the better free throw shooting team here towards the very end of this ball game? And I don't think Nate Van Arendyk's ever taken a bigger free throw than this one right here.
So Nate steps to the line, the crowd quiets down, and this one drops in. We're tied. 43 seconds left. Trine with the basketball. We're tied at 59. 39, 37. Works his way down. Dixon with the basketball. Back out to Hall. Hall works it around the outside as he keeps his dribble. Gives it to Dixon. 21, 20. Count down your seconds, Adam. I'll give you play-by-play.
Seven seconds.
Here comes Dixon.
Four seconds.
His way into the paint. And traveling. Into the ball.
With 3 seconds left on the shot clock, Dixon traveled with the ball. And with 11 seconds left, the Flying Dutchman will have a chance to win this ball game.
And they take a timeout. Edson comes back in. 11 seconds left. Hope will have the basketball. Talk about the, tight ball game. You can't ask for anything closer.
Oh, and Nathan Arendock, though, ice water running through his veins on that free throw.
And you don't want to score too quick.
No. Oh, I was going to say this after that free throw was made. There's one person I don't want to have that ball at the end of this ball game, and that was Will Dixon. And, boy, I'm glad I didn't say that because he travels with the ball with 3 seconds left on the shot clock. I think he was thinking a little too much about the time.
Well, he got cut off. He did not have a good shot in there. He had to spin around and look for somebody. He couldn't find anybody open. And then all the maneuvering that he was doing to try to keep the ball away from people, he was called for traveling.
And there's something that happened in that whole process. I think that Trine was too interested in running the clock all the way down and not trying to find the shot that would give them the lead. I just had that impression that that's what they were doing. They were looking a little bit too much to kill off time rather than looking for a shot.
Well, they set up the same play that they'd been using all night with Dixon, whereby they bring him out in the top quarter. He gets a screen from Holmquist, and Dixon will beat the defensive man as he switches around the outside.
And Sam Otto was guarding him and would not allow him to get open. So a great piece of defense by Sam Otto on that last possession.
Now the Thunder look like they're going to press out here once they get next to the timeline. In pass to Gardner. Keep counting.
Gardner 7 seconds.
With the basketball around the outside edge.
4, 3.
Underneath the banana. Ball knocked out of his hands. Picked up by Bagley. His long throw. Whoa, off the mark and overtime. Here we come as we set at 59 apiece. This one is a regulation and it's over for that part. So into an overtime we go, and it's going to be good.
I heard a whistle, and so I thought maybe they had called a foul underneath when Nate went for that basket, but a lot of times like that in the end of a ball game, they're going to swallow the whistle. They're not going to allow a game to end like that. So we're going to have overtime basketball, 5 minutes of basketball, some free basketball here for everybody. They're going to get a little extra. And lots of fans on their feet right now as this place is electric and they're geared up for this ball game, Ron.
Well, if you're riding fast, you might just want to jump out and watch this next 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's because this has been an exciting second half as the Flying Dutchman down at 1 point here in the second half by 10 points, whittled the lead down to nothing. Nate Van Arendyk bearing two free throws at the end of towards the end of regulation to tie the ball game up. Neither team able to get a basket at the tail end of the game on their last possession. So 59 apiece going into this overtime, Ron.
Now, we haven't had too much experience playing in overtimes this season. I'm trying to think back out there. We had, what, one?
I don't even think we had one overtime game yet this season. I can look right now. I'll look at the... I'm taking a look at Hope's. They have not had an overtime ball game yet this season. That's kind of an interesting aspect of that, is go an entire season without one overtime ball game.
Let's get the tip and get a quick lead out here and make the Thunder play a comeback type of game for the first time.
Trine has gone into one overtime ball game this season, and they lost a two-point overtime contest to Wabash on 12-21 of 2013.
So we'll be having the tip. New ball game. We're tied at 59 as we head into overtime. Tip up in the air, tip back to Gardner. And Hope's going to get the basketball first in the overtime. Gardner to Stivey, over on the right side, Edson. Back to Gardner. Gardner takes it around the edge, all the way underneath, puts it up and in! 61-59, the first that Hope has been in the league since very early in the contest. Hall with the basketball, the good on the right side. He takes it along the edge of the paint, cut off by Neal. Back to Holmquist. Holmquist back into Dixon's hands. Dixon against Gardner, kicks the screen. Gardner's right there, good. Takes Grant Neal underneath, puts it up with a nice little hook shot. We're tied again at 61. Gardner wants to play number four. He comes down the court. Heads to the left side. Over to Stivey. To Neal in the right wing. Grant brings it out back to Edson. Edson finds Stivey. He puts it up. Misses. Rebound. Van Arendonk. And Van Arendonk puts it down, and we're going to get a foul, offensive foul on Van Arendonk with a charge.
Gutsy move by Holmquist on that one, because Holmquist is playing with four fouls, and he stood his ground and let Nate run him over and got the call.
So the Thunder with the basketball. We're tied at 61. 3:49 left. No pressure by the Flying Dutchman. They drop back in their man-to-man defense. And the Thunder get their play as the coach sends it in with Tattoo. Dixon to Tattoo. Over to right side to Hall. Hall back at the wing. Bounce pass in the middle to Good. Can't find an open man. Back to Tattoo. 14 on the shot clock. Hall looks for Dixon. Dixon pretty well covered, but Hall works his way toward him. To the basket, underneath the basket, into the corner to Good. He fakes. Back to Hall. No good at the buzzer. So, Flying Dutchman score tied 61 apiece. Have the basketball. 3 minutes left. Over to Edson. Edson, right wing, works his way up to the point and around to the left side. Leaves it for Grant, back to Edson. Baseline inside to Van Arendonk, and the ball knocked out of bounds, and it's going to belong to...
It's going to belong to Hope College, but the fans are reacting because they thought there should have been a foul called.
And Grant Neal, and we got a foul, and this may be against Holmquist.
Now, Holmquist's night has just ended.
And that's going to send Van Arendonk back to the line for two as Watkins will come in.
And that is a big foul right there, Ron, because...
Well, Watkins is not a bad ball player.
He is their leading rebounder in this ball game, and that's why that's a big big exit. Holmquist is a veteran player and a very good rebounder, as he has eight rebounds.
It's VA at the line. Rattles in there like a pinball machine, but hopped out. 61 apiece, 2:49 left. VA Second one. This one's in. 62-61. Hope up by one. Here comes Dixon. Dixon, right side the Hall. Back out in front to Dixon. The Tattoo on the right wing. They work their way through the middle to Watkins. Out front to Hall. Hall just kind of holds it, gives it to Dixon. Dixon guarded by Gardner. Almost lost his dribble. Gets a screen from Watkins to Hall. Back to Tattoo. No good. Rebound. Van Arendonk. VA going up after that one like he wanted it. Gardner to Stivey. Hope up by one with the basketball. Gardner in his hands. 20 seconds on the shot clock. 1:59 on the game clock. Edson at the top of the key over to Stivey. Stivey drives in against Hall. 8 seconds. Six. Gardner fires away off the mark. Oh, that one didn't hit anything. The backboard, the rim, nothing. And so the Thunder will get the basketball back. 1:40 left. Hope leading by one. Dixon for the Thunder. To Good. Good. Drives underneath. Gets VA up in the air. No good with the bucket. And VA with the rebound. So VA starting to control those backboards now. And Hope not taking advantage of it, as they've had a couple opportunities to take the lead. As a timeout is called on the court.
This timeout is brought to you by Apple Valley Natural Foods. For natural foods, snack healthy before and after the game, go to Apple Valley Natural Foods. Throughout this ball game, Trine has controlled the rebounds, Ron. The Flying Dutchmen are now out-rebounding Trine 30-27. Leading rebounder of the game, Nate Van Arendonk, with 12 rebounds. He has been kind of a monster on the boards for the Flying Dutchmen here
well,
in this game.
Last 2 minutes, I think he probably had five in a row out there. He's been really controlling that board. And
the Flying Dutchmen are just one of these ball games where you're just uncomfortable with that one-point lead. You'd like them to get another bucket right here, get maybe 3 points up, because Trine has shown that they can hit the three-pointer. The Flying Dutchman did a lot of good things here in the second half. Trine has only hit one three-pointer in the second half, Ron. I just don't like the idea of saying that, because as soon as you say something like that, and then they go out and they drain a three-pointer, and there is a lot of good shooters on this Trine ball club that can go out and shoot those three-pointers.
And there's some time up there, 1:20 left. That 1 point really doesn't make a lot of difference up there, other than it kind of helps a little bit, you might say, with the possibilities. You can go for two at the end of the game rather than having to shoot the three to tie or something.
Well, the Flying Dutchman having the ball with a one-point lead is good, because if they can get a basket here, they can make it a three-point ball game.
If they can get a three out there, then it's interesting.
And it's a two-possession ball game, which is something that's always nice.
So Gardner with a basketball. Here we go. To McMahon. Back to Edson. Edson looks, can't get it to Van Arendonk. Out front to Gardner. Gardner backs it off. 11 on the shot clock. Gets a screen from Van Arendonk underneath. Spins around, puts it up. No foul. Watkins with a rebound. Now Gardner took it down, put the shot up, but didn't get a foul call. And Hall wants a timeout. 46 seconds left on the game clock. 29 seconds on the shot clock for the Thunder, and they trail by one. Now, looking at the timeouts, each team has a two. Now, the Thunder has one.
Timeout time. Full timeout.
So we'll probably have a few more timeouts before this one's over with the last 46 seconds.
And this timeout is presented by Apple Valley Natural Foods. For natural foods, snack healthy before and after the ball game, go to Apple Valley Natural Foods. Well, the other semifinal ball game has gone final, Ron. The Calvin Knights have defeated Albion 64-55. So the winner of this ball game has the Calvin Knights on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And that.
You think they're in their locker room when this one game turned on?
I would not be the least bit surprised if they are keeping track of this ball game. Just on the curious factor on who they're going to be playing. And this game hinges just as much for them because Trine wins, they host that ball game. Hope wins, they come out here for the third battle of the Hope-Calvin rivalry of the season.
Well, you know, if it were the other way around and Hope was finished out there with a win and Calvin was still playing, it would be on the scoreboard up here so that we could keep track of that one very well and the fans would just stay, watch the score on the scoreboard.
And it's happened before, hasn't it?
Several times. So the Thunder with the basketball. Hall looks to get it in. Little bounce pass to Dixon. Dixon, ice gardener, and starts his move. Gets a screen. The ball is tipped by Grant, but Tattoo's able to get it back. Bagley's in now. He's a three-point shooter for the Thunder. They're going to take it down and take the shot as late as they can. Hall on the outside. Leaves it on the outside for Tyler Good, who drives in the middle. And the ball is...
I don't think it's going to matter because the shot clock expired.
Well, you're going to have the... All right, one official caught it. The other one was busy watching the play. And Hope's going to get the basketball.
Well, here's the question. Was it a shot clock violation or did it go out against Trine? Because I want to say that the ball went out of bounds against off of Hope.
Well, it was Gardner out there trying to tip the ball against Trine. And the official said no, it was going to be Trine's basketball. In pass comes to Edson, and Dixon fouls Edson with 16 seconds on the clock. They're going to try to force Alex to step to that line and make this a one-score ball game out here. Yeah, with 3-point lead, but that's much better than one, as you were saying.
Edson, a 79% free throw shooter, the best free throw shooter on the team.
And he drops the first one in.
Excuse me, the second best free throw shooter on the team. Corey McMahon is shooting just over 85%.
Caleb Byers back into the ball game, and... if he makes this, you're going to find Coach Neal up there saying, don't foul,
foul.
Don't
no.
foul,
yep.
Don't foul, and why'd you foul? That drives coaches absolutely bananas.
Well, that timeout that Trine just took was their final timeout of the ball game. So, really, right now, they have to make sure that they get through everything that they want to get through right now on all the possibilities that will happen here in these final 16 seconds.
Well, the Thunder, if they get the ball with 16 seconds, have plenty of time to set something up. Edson at the line for the second of the pair. The Grand Haven native. All set to put Hope in a three-point lead. Yes! 64, 61, 16 seconds left. The Thunder will get the basketball. Hope's going to put on a little pressure. It won't be real tight, but it'll force them to slow it down a little bit. 13, 12, ball tipped. They almost lose it, but Good gets it back to Dixon. And Gardner around the outside fouls Dixon with 6 seconds. Good move. Now they have those to give, remember? We said that
it's a one and one.
It's going to be one and one.
Well, their reason to do that is to prevent them from taking a three-point shot. So that puts them to the free throw line. So now they're going to have to make one and possibly miss one on purpose.
And in comes VA along. Stivey's going to stay.
And we have an accident here on the Trine bench. It looks like some water was spilled, and they're attempting to clean it up.
So it'll be Dixon at the line. Bagley gets ready to come in, and he's going to come in. And that's going to be for Dustin Hall. Tyler Good will drop back defensively, and Bagley will go fight the rebound with Caleb if it comes off on the right side. So one-and-one situation as they continue working on cleaning up a little moisture.
Oh, there's a little bit more, a little bit more than a little moisture. Looks like we had a lost water bottle.
So the Thunder at the line. Hope with a 64-61 lead. Free throw, good.
Well, here's a question for you, Ron. Do you miss the second one on purpose, or do you try to hit it and then foul and force Hope to make the free throws on the other end?
I'm going to hit it and force him to make it. This one, off the mark, rebound, Byers, and he is fouled. Took 1 second off the clock as Begley tried to tackle Caleb. He got out there quick, and Caleb's going to go to the line. 5 seconds left. Grant Neal getting ready to come back in. And it'll be Dustin Hall back in. As Grant will go in.
And in all the confusion of that, Jake Begley picked up his fifth foul, so he has exited the ball game as well for Trine.
Caleb puts in the free one.
A big one for Caleb, who's shooting 57% from the line on the season. It's a three-point ball game, and he could make this a two-possession ball game all by burying this one.
He could almost seal it here. No, in and out. Here comes Hall. He fires a triple. It's short. It's short. Hope College will move on to the finals on Saturday as they come back to defeat a very stubborn Trine ball club, a disciplined ball club that played their game this evening, but they come out 3 points short. So Hope wins it, 65-62, and you take a deep breath.
It's time for the Crown Motors postgame show, but first let's send it back to the studio for this two-minute break. You're listening to Hope College Basketball on 92.7 The Van and streaming online at 92.7thevan.com. Welcome back to the Crown Motors postgame show on 92.7 The Van and 92.7thevan.com, where the Flying Dutchmen have won their first overtime ball game of the season, 65-62 over Trine University in this MIAA semifinal matchup. The Flying Dutchmen pull out a huge victory, coming back from 10 points down in the second half to defeat Trine University here at the DeVos Fieldhouse. Let's take a look at team statistics first for Trine University. They shot 43% from the field in this ball game, going 24 of 55. They shot 33% from three-point land, going 5 of 15. They only made one three-pointer in the second half. They did a reasonably good job from the free throw line, going 75%, going 9 of 12 for 75%. They had 29 rebounds. They turned over the ball 9 times. And here is going to be one of the main statistics of this ball game, Ron. They only hit one basket in overtime, and that was at the 4:22 mark. So the Flying Dutchman held them almost scoreless the entire overtime period.
Plus about that long, if not longer, at the end of the ball game. They went just through a stretch there. Where
it was almost an eight-minute stretch where they held them scoreless. So that was a very key thing. For the Flying Dutchman of Hope College, team statistics for the Flying Dutchman, they shot 45.7% from the field, going 21 of 46. They shot 31% from three-point land. They hit 5 of 16 from three-point line, and so each team making 5 three-pointers. The Flying Dutchman went 18 of 25 from the free throw line for 72%, and by the end of the ball game, they were able to catch Trine with rebounds. With a 31 rebounds compared to Trine's 29, 7 offensive boards, 24 defensive boards for the Flying Dutchman, and they turned over the ball on 12 different occasions.
At the half, I said Hope's got to get on the offensive boards out there because Trine had had 7 offensive rebounds in that first half. For the ball game, Trine has 7 offensive rebounds. They did not get an offensive rebound in the second half.
And that's big. They did a very nice job clamping down on Trine in the second half. Individual statistics. First for Trine University, a huge ball game out of freshman Will Dixon. We're going to be seeing him for a long time, and he's going to probably be a good thorn in the Flying Dutchman side. The freshman had 26 points, 2 assists, and 1 rebound. Tyler Good had 13 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. Jake Bagley had 8 points and 6 rebounds. Jared Holmquist had 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. Dustin Hall had 2 points and 6 rebounds. Nick Tattoo had 3 points and 1 assist. And Todd Watkins had 2 points and 2 rebounds for the Thunder of Trine University. For the Hope College Flying Dutchmen, they were led in scoring by freshman Cody Stivey, who had 18 points and 2 rebounds. Those 18 points, a career high for the freshman out of Hudsonville. Nate Van Arendock, a solid night, having a double-double, 16 points and 12 rebounds for Big Nate. Ben Gardner, also in double figures. He had 11 points and 2 rebounds and 2 assists. Alex Edson, not a lot in the scoring column tonight, but he did a lot to get everybody else in the scoring column. 4 points, 1 rebound, but a very key statistics. He had 6 assists on the evening, so he wasn't shooting the ball as much, but was getting the ball to his teammates for points. So Alex Edson with a solid night dishing the ball. Grant Neal had 3 points and 5 rebounds. Caleb Byers had 3 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. Sam Otto, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Brock Benson, 1 point and 1 rebound. And Corey McMahon stepping up, 7 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist for Corey McMahon. Ron, you took a little look at it, and anything that's standing out to you in the statistics column?
Well, the free throws that the Flying Dutchman had, 18 out of 25, and that was important for him because that's kind of the margin. We out as far as baskets are concerned, Trine made 3 more baskets than the Flying Dutchman. Both of teams had 5 three-pointers. So that was even, and the rebounds pretty even. So right down the line, and the free throws are the telling tale. And the pressure at the end of the ball game, when the Flying Dutchman had to make those free throws, they made most of them.
And that was a key part of the ball game, was that the Flying Dutchman made their free throws at the very end of the ball game, and that kind of sealed the deal. As we're awaiting Coach Tom Davilar for the post-game interview, he's making his way around here. Congratulations, Coach, on the victory.
Come on, give me something a little bit more than that. I need a couple minutes here, okay? I need a couple minutes.
Well, Ron wanted me to say this to you. This is the kind of game that puts a little bit more gray hair on your head.
Good thing we're on radio, so some people might not recognize the fact that I have very little hair left in my head. I did get a nice haircut from my wife, I think, today. But, yeah, that's the kind of thing that makes you an old man just feel a little bit older. But we're very thankful for the victory. Some nights it's better to be lucky than good, and that was us tonight. You know, we were lucky. They were unlucky. I give credit to Trine. They pushed us all the way. We finally got some stops in the last 10-12 minutes of the game. What allowed us, even though we were fairly inept on offense, allowed us to catch up. And that was key, and I thought we had the momentum going into the overtime, and fortunately we held on.
In the second half, you were able to hold Trine to only 1 three-pointer made in the second half. Was that something that you guys decided in the locker room at halftime, that you needed to stop them from making those shots from the perimeter?
Well, we decided in the locker room that we just had to play harder together on both, harder on the defensive end, more together on the offensive end. the togetherness in offense really didn't come through until the last 4 minutes of the game. We did play harder on defense. We did a nice job of limiting them. I think they had, way too many offensive rebounds. And let's credit Jake Bagley, who was here for a year, and Jake played with a lot of heart tonight, had some big baskets for him and some huge offensive rebounds where they were able to build a 6-8 point lead at halftime off of that and his energy and the rest of them. And, our energy was at a low ebb for whatever reason. And, fortunately, we found something at halftime. Kept forcing the ball inside. Eventually that took its toll on them as they had a couple guys fall out. But, I give Coach Brooks Miller and his staff and his players all the credit in the world. They deserved a better fate tonight. We're fortunate. We'll take it and have a chance to play again.
You guys had an 8-minute stretch in the second half and almost the entire overtime period where you held Trine without a field goal. Good defensive effort from the ball club in the second half.
Well, we got some guys in there who were committed to playing on the defensive end together and played much harder. We made a couple adjustments. They did a really nice job of adjusting to what we had done defensively against them before. And we started to switch less screens in the second half. I thought Corey McMahon came in and gave us some good defense on Will Dixon. And Will just had his way with us. Ben got in some foul trouble, and, Will was just tremendous. On the ball, just going to the basket, and we just really had a really difficult time, obviously, stopping him. We did a pretty good job with Tyler Good. We buttoned down offensively. We just kept going inside, and fortunately, we made enough free throws, made a few threes ourselves in the second half. I don't think we made one in the first half, and, ended up with a very hard-earned three-point victory.
Cody Stivey stepped up in a big way, gave you guys some major points in that second half, and including those three-pointers that you just mentioned.
Yeah, we get a lot from Cody. He does different things against different teams. He's a tough matchup. For them, we just got him moving on the perimeter. They know he's not a real strong post player inside, but he got moving. The ball got moving a little bit better with Cody ending up in his hands, and he made the shots there and made the free throws, which was huge, and we have been having some success switching him one we call 1-4, but we went back to switching 1-3 and played more straight up on a couple other people. So, it worked. It wasn't any great strategy. We just got enough stops, as you mentioned, held them without field goals where our defense was strong enough down the stretch to allow us to finally score enough baskets and free throws to catch them. And then, we thought we had a pretty good look inside with 11 seconds to go. We ran a nice set, got VA wide open, and, unfortunately, he got the ball down a little bit. We think maybe he got fouled, but they're not going to call that when the ball's down by the ankles and the knees. And so it goes to overtime, but we got the lead in overtime, and we're fortunate to hold on.
Saturday, it's going to be the third time that you play the Calvin. You have anything?
Oh, did they win tonight?
Yes. 64-55.
A much closer game. I mean, this is, I think, indicative. These games are indicative of what happens in the tournament. Calvin had this situation with Albion where they blew him out in the first half the other day, and I'm looking at the score and knowing nothing else about the game. But obviously, Albion played them a lot tougher tonight in Grand Rapids, and Trine played us a lot tougher in Holland. So I'm sure both teams got a wake-up call on that, and we have a lot of respect for Calvin. We've had success against them this year, but it's because we've played hard and played together, out-rebounded them, did all the little things that we weren't doing for a long time tonight, and almost ended our season.
So you have one more ball game for the MIAA, for the trophy, the automatic bid into the tournament. You have anything that you think that you guys got to really work on coming up on this Saturday?
Well, I think, the feeling in the locker room was more of relief than anything else. There wasn't a whole lot of joy. So we've got to get back focused to playing hard together. I know I keep saying, those three words over and over again, and having fun doing so. And, it'll be a great atmosphere on Saturday, obviously. And we earned the right to host this game, but there's no guarantees. We've won this game in Grand Rapids. We didn't win it last year, but we've won it a couple times recently. So I'm pretty sure it'll say 0-0 home and visitor on Saturday at 3 o'clock. It doesn't matter what happened in the first two games. you know, Calvin is certainly going to be coming here and playing hard themselves and working together to erase the memory of the first two games, and we need this game as well. So it should be another great game, 188 Hope Calvin games, but I've learned over the years that when it's a tournament game, you can't really focus on the rivalry and the Hope Calvin part of it. It's just, it's an MIAA championship game, and the team that wins gets an AQ automatic qualifier going to next week, and that's what we're playing for this week. So I hope that our effort is better. Trust me, I know it will be, but it's going to have to be a lot better against a very fine Calvin team.
Look like the crowd is getting ready, Coach, as they're lining up here to buy tickets. A pretty good lineup.
My wife might not be coming home quite so soon. Ann's probably, and her staff, I know, are taking care of things. And, you know, people are now aware this is a general admission thing. You know, the house has to be split between the both teams on Saturday. So we'll see, you know, who's selling the tickets. But I'm sure she'll make an announcement after this evening as to what procedures people go through to get their tickets. It's general admission. I think the crowd will be here eagerly on time on Saturday afternoon. But, you know, that's not our focus. That's her issue. Our issue is getting ready to play for 40 minutes. And I'm just very thankful that we get that opportunity, because it looked for a long time tonight that we might not get the chance. So, hail to the victors, as they say. I hear my friends from Ann Arbor pulled one out in the last second tonight, and we were fortunate too. And sometimes in a tournament situation, that's often what happens. You don't get the blowout games, especially when you're playing a team the third time. So our guys are going to be aware that, you know, what happened the last time here is not going to happen again on Saturday afternoon. We're going to have to fight tooth and nail every possession offensively and defensively. That's the way it should be. You want to go out and earn it, and we're going to have to really work hard to earn it. But we get the opportunity, and that's what that's what tonight was all about. Ron and I talked before the game. You know, the only focus was tonight. It sure didn't look like it was our focus at times tonight, as we weren't real well focused. But we end up on top. I think, you know, we've had some games like this earlier in the year especially, and it helped us out in this situation. So we'll get a good night's rest, I hope, come back tomorrow and Friday and prepare for the nights and see what happens between 3 and 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Once again, congratulations, Coach, on this victory, and we'll see you on Saturday.
See, Adam, thanks for giving me a couple minutes to collect myself, and then I did okay, right?
So, you always do very well.
Thank you for that. I'm not sure my mind has processed everything. My job is to look ahead at Calvin for Saturday. Somebody else will look back at this game tonight, but I know there's a lot of things that we got to clean up here, both on and off the court as a team, to play harder together. So we'll work at it. We'll do our part. You guys get rested up, and we'll see you Saturday afternoon.
Thank you. That was Coach Tom Davilar with a post-game interview. And Ron's going to bust out the statistics once again, and we're going to look over those. And
well, I was just going to feed a little bit off of Coach's comments here. We've got a game coming up tomorrow that's going to feature the Flying Dutch, and they play a team, Adrian, that could do the same type of thing that this ball club from Trine did to the guys tonight by tomorrow afternoon. So, or tomorrow night, I guess it is. Tomorrow night. And that could be a very close ball game as well. And people just sort of chalk it off and say, well, we got that one won. Not so come tournament time.
And the fans need to realize that are listening to us on the radio right now, you're not guaranteed a spot to go to these ball games if you do not go to the game tomorrow night. You might want to go to this ball game tomorrow night so you can be able to get into line like everybody else, because they do split the MIAA tournament games up 50-50 between the home team and the road team. And if you aren't one of the lucky 1,500, from what I was told, 1,500 people or 1,500 tickets, you might have to listen to that ball game on Saturday on 92.7 The Van instead of going to the game.
Well, I think that's very true with the men playing Calvin and so forth. I'm not sure. It's kind of anticipated that the women are going to be playing Olivet. And I'm not quite sure that Olivet has that kind of a following that will fill the place. So we'll have a few more seats that can possibly go to the hometown fans out there rather than the Olivet.
Oh, you never want to chance one of these things.
No,
that's all.
No.
So if for any of you listening out there that are Hope College Flying Dutch fans, you might want to get out here tomorrow night, support the Flying Dutch, see a good ball game, see the Flying Dutch. If they advance, you will have your first opportunity to get tickets. And right now it looks like the tickets for Saturday's ball game are indeed going to be tough tickets to get here in Holland, because there's a decent line all the way across the concourse for these tickets. So I would not be the least bit surprised, Ron, if those tickets are gone before we leave the arena this evening.
No. Well, we'll wait and see, and we'll bring in that contest tomorrow afternoon. This was a good one, and it's more fun when you get a close ball game like this. We don't want them quite this close. We'd like to have a few more points to cushion us, but, you know, it turned out in the right way.
The official attendance of tonight's ball game is 1,265 and is presented by Simpatico Coffee, the exclusive coffee provider for Hope College. Visit their new coffee joint at 714 Michigan Avenue or have a cup of Simpatico coffee at the ball game. And we were taking a look at those statistics, Ron. We got to name a player to the ball game.
Well, it's going to be tough, and I think it's got to be two of them. I don't think that we can go with one tonight. I think there were two guys that probably played their best ball game of the year, and one of them being the freshman, Cody Stivey, as he had 18 points, but pulled on a couple of rebounds and did a nice job defensively for the Flying Dutchman. And I think we got to go with V.A. And that V.A. really controlled that first half for Hope. He was shut down in the second half, as in the first half he had 13 points. He only got three in the second half. So they shut him down pretty much in that second half, but he put in some critical free throws right down late in the ball game, and Hope College needed every one of those points.
And the rebounds. The rebounds at the end of the ball game that Van Arendonk got in overtime and in the second half, those were very key rebounds as he was controlling the boards at the end of the ball game.
Yeah, he's got a double-double out there. He's got 12 rebounds and 16 points. So a big double-double for VA. But I think those two guys have to go at the top of our list for our most valuable player.
Tonight's most valuable player of the game is Nate Van Arendonk and Cody Stivey, who both had very solid performances for the Flying Dutchman. Hope's record improves to 20-6 on the record on the season, and Trine's record ends their season with a 15-11 record. Hope College, another 20-win season for the Flying Dutchman. This is Adam Prince speaking for Ron Weatherby, thanking everyone at Hope College, especially Alan Babbitt. Also, special thanks to Holly Rose at the station for keeping us on the air. And finally, thank you for joining us this evening. We invite you to join Ron and me at 92.7 The Van tomorrow night as the Hope College Flying Dutch host Adrian College in a semifinal game of the MIAA postseason tournament. Tip-off is at 7:30 with the Barber Ford pregame show starting at 7:10. Once again, the final score in overtime, Hope College 65, Trine 62. Have an unbelievable evening, everyone.